Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 19, 1 through 10. God's glory in creation. How clearly the sky reveals God's glory. How plainly it shows what he has done. Each day announces it to the following day. Each night repeats it to the next. No speech or words are used. No sound is heard. Yet their message goes out to all the world and is heard to the ends of the earth. God made a home in the sky for the sun. It comes out in the morning like a happy bridegroom, like an athlete eager to run a race. It starts at the end of the sky and goes across to the other. Nothing can hide from its heat. The law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. The commands of the Lord are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it. The laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are happy. The commands of the Lord are just, and give understanding to the mind. Reverence for the Lord is good, and it will continue forever. The judgments of the Lord are just, and they are always fair. They are more desirable than the finest gold. They are sweeter than the purest honey.
During this time of Epiphany, as we walk through these winter weeks and consider what it means for God's gift, God's light for the whole world, we are looking at the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's Prayer, as a way that we unload, unpack, understand what this life looks like that we are to share, its features, its contours, how it looks and feels. This morning I'm reading from the contemporary English version so that each Sunday we're hearing it in a little bit different language, this prayer that God gave us in Christ. And so Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like those show-offs who love to stand up and pray in the meeting places and on the street corners. They do this just to look good. I can assure you, they already have their reward. When you pray, go into a room alone and close the door. Pray to your Father in private. He knows what is done in private, and he will reward you. When you pray, don't talk on and on as people who don't know God. They think God likes to hear long prayers. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. You should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, help us to honor your name. Come and set up your kingdom so that everyone on earth will obey you as you are obeyed in heaven. Give us our food for today. Forgive us for doing wrong as we forgive others. Keep us from being tempted and protect us from evil. Let us pray. O God, may your word go forth from this place and from every place where your people are gathered. May your word find us, capture us, renew us, that we might be your witnesses and Christ's faithful witnesses. Amen. Everywhere in the Gospel of Matthew, it seems, there is talk of the kingdom of God. If you were giving a new title to the Gospel of Matthew, you could just call it the kingdom of heaven. It would be an appropriate title for that gospel. Soon after Jesus is born, the wise men, the Magi, come and they say, "Where is the king? King of the Jews?" And then Jesus is baptized not long after that in Matthew's gospel. And this is a picture. Now, this is not to be taken as literal. The Bible is a picture-making document to give us pictures of truth. So here's the picture the Gospel of Matthew gives us. The devil takes Jesus to a high place, and he shows him, look, all of the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. And if you will just bow down to me, I will give you all of these kingdoms and all of the splendor. Soon after that, Jesus begins his public ministry, and the Gospel of Matthew says that he goes all over Galilee, everywhere, all of the villages and hamlets and towns, preaching the kingdom and healing. Preaching the kingdom and healing. And the kingdom just keeps showing up over and over and over. It shows up when that day when they want to know who's going to be the greatest of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus sees a little child. He brings the child right in the middle of him. And he said, the kingdom of heaven, you have to be like a little child in order to enter the kingdom. You have to have that fullness of trust and belief, a wholehearted giving of yourself. That's what the kingdom is like. And he tells these parables, all of these parables about the kingdom of heaven. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who, when he finds a pearl of great price, goes out and liquidates everything he has. He sells all of his possessions and every penny he has to buy, to have, to receive this pearl of great price. So the kingdom is worth giving everything we have in order to get it. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God as workers in the field, and some are hired early in the morning and work all through the heat of the day, and some are hired at noon and some at 5 or 6 o'clock, and at the end of the working day they line up to get their wages and they all get the same wage. The kingdom is like that. It's not you earn more, it's that we're all happy in the kingdom to share together. And then, of course, as Jesus has his last meal with his disciples, they have the cup and the bread, and Jesus said, I will not share this cup again with you until I share it in the kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is what Jesus came to offer, to invite us into. And it is unlike all of the kingdoms of the world. Kingdoms had their beginning, empires had their beginning about 4,000 years ago. There was a place called Mesopotamia. It's Iraq in today's geography. The land between the rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. And 4,000 years ago, they discovered this thing called irrigation. And when they were able to do the irrigation from the rivers, they discovered that they could grow food as never before. And as the surplus of food began to bless them and to provide for them growth of population, civilization came into being. They invented writing. They invented mathematics. They became scientists in astronomy. They built these magnificent cities. They produced weapons of iron and bronze. Oh, how splendid is civilization. But of course, it came at a cost. And the cost was that there would be a few people, a king and his retinue and his officers and the government officials and others, there would be a few people that would enjoy the arts, the music, the buildings, the grandeur, the food, the blessings of civilization. But there would be this vast number of people who would have nothing. They would live from day to day, and they would not live very long. Some of them were just serfs and peasants, and some of them were made into slaves, and even back then, 4,000 years ago, they would tattoo the name of the owner on the skin, on the arm of the slave, so that they would know who this slave was owned by. It's a funny thing about empires, kingdoms. They're never satisfied with what they have. They have to have more. They have to have bigger. They have to expand. And so empires began to expand, and as they expand, the strong take from the weak. I've just told you the history of the world. The strong take from the weak. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, there were three or four major empires that arose in Mesopotamia. And after them, there were the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans. And one empire after another. History shows they rise and they fall. But while they're strong, they take from the weak. And the vast number of people who are alive are worked till their death. So when Jesus begins to talk about the kingdom of God, that's the kind of kingdom that many of them would have in mind. They didn't have any understanding of any other kind of kingdom than this. They thought Jesus had come to establish a new kingdom in which they would be strong and they would be winners and they would be the ones who were able to take. Over and over again, Jesus begins to re-educate, help them to relearn, to re-understand that in this kingdom, the strong will not take from the weak. In this kingdom, there will be blessing for everyone. So Jesus looks at John the Baptist and he says, "You see that, John the Baptist? The greatest man who ever lived. Do you see him? The least in the kingdom will be greater than John the Baptist. The kingdom that Jesus came to give us, we have to learn to see. That's why we're given this prayer that we keep praying, your kingdom come. We keep praying that over and over, every week, all the time, so that God can help us to relearn, to re-understand this. It's like a mustard seed. It's so small sometimes that you can hardly see it. But Jesus said the kingdom is like that. Sometimes it's so small you can hardly see it. And so we learn to pray the Lord's Prayer so that we can see the kingdom when it happens. A number of years ago, 60 Minutes did an interview of a family in which a 10-year-old child in the family had spina bifida. She had never taken a step by herself in all of her life. And it was a deeply religious family, and they went abroad to Lourdes, to this place in France where many healings were told and reported. And they went several times. Nothing ever happened. And so 60 Minutes made a visit to this family and interviewed them. And the interviewer asked the child, "What do you pray for?" And he was not able to handle her answer very well, because obviously he was expecting her to say, "Well, I pray for healing. I pray for God's blessing and for the being able to walk again." And what she said was, "I pray for my father." And she explained, he was not socially adept. It was not easy for him to make friends. He was a very shy man, unable to break through the shyness often to be able to have many friends. And so she said, "I pray that my father will not be so shy." The interviewer didn't know what to do with that. So he turned to the mother and he said, "You know, you've gone over there to France several times. Don't you think there comes a point where you have to say that you're just wasting a lot of money?" And she answered him, Ed Bradley, maybe you know, Ed Bradley, "Mr. Bradley, you don't get it, do you? We've already had our miracle. We have a family united in faith and in love. That is our miracle." You see, the miracles in our lives are happening all the time. They're in your life. They're happening every day. They're happening all the time. It's not what we expect. That's why we have to keep praying the prayer for the kingdom. We're looking for this miracle. And all the time, God's at work over here giving a miracle that we haven't seen yet. Or we have forgotten. Or we've passed on. And now we have to find again. The kingdom is breaking in everywhere. I remember going to a church one time, and the pastor told me about their midweek service. And in the midweek service, it's a meal for homeless people in Fort Worth, Texas. It's a wealthy church. But as he explained the meal for the homeless people, it wasn't that the people got into the kitchen, made the food, and put the food on a styrofoam plate with plastic knives and forks, and they sat down to eat. No, not that kind of meal. It was a meal in which they all gathered together around the tables. Everyone ate together. And the rich people of Fort Worth had brought their finest china and best linens. And they ate and laughed and loved and celebrated life together. And I thought, my gosh, that's just like the kingdom. Had a friend who was retired a number of years ago, a long time ago now, and I found out what he and his wife do every week, or did, while they were both still alive. They were retired, and so behind their home was an alley. And once a week, the garbage truck came up their alley, and there they were, waiting for them. They had brought forth treats that they had made in the oven or in the kitchen. They had put a tablecloth on a table. They had fine china and silver and a small little time in the life of these garbage collectors where they would stop the truck and have a moment to have tea and cookies and treats in the alley. The kingdom of God is everywhere. Where Jesus is. If Jesus is present in the heart and life and relationships of God's people, the kingdom is there. It's blessing all the time, every day. And your life and mine is nothing but a continuous miracle of love and grace. Keep praying the Lord's Prayer. Keep praying for the kingdom to come. Keep watching. Keep waiting. Keep praying. The kingdom is all around us. And someday, the kingdom of this world, as the last book of the Bible puts it, where there are those who are left out, where those who are forgotten, where there are those who grow old and die alone, where children go to bed hungry at night, where there is suffering and pain and hurt, this world, this kingdom, will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And everyone will be welcomed and loved and blessed. Amen.